Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about the final completion list with the help of special guest Ed Hoxbergen of Encore Homes in Middleton, Wisconsin. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hey, once again, everybody, Tim Fowler here, and welcome to the Tim Fowler Show. Keep those ideas coming for podcast topics. Let us know what we can help you with, and we'll try to get it on as quickly as we can. So I've been speaking at conferences for, I don't know, maybe 25 years now. I know I can't possibly be that old, but I am that old. And I've talked about checklists quite a bit. In fact, we've even had a podcast on checklists and the checklist manifesto and things like that. And so it's really a big deal to me to have something to jog my memory, something to jog my brain about whatever is important. So I put together a whole series of checklists that had to do with framing, electrical, plumbing, all that kind of stuff. And then it dawned on me one day that you really ought to have a final completion checklist. You ought to have a checklist that makes you go around and check everything carefully. So I kept talking about it and talking about it. And finally, one day, I put it together. Well, I think it had like 30 things on it, okay? So it's not exhaustive. It's not totally complete, but I put it together. But the guest that we have for today has totally outclassed me on this completion list. And I'm just so excited to have him on to talk about this. So as many of you know, one of my primary responsibilities with Remodelers Advantage is to coordinate our roundtables for production managers. So these roundtables are groups of non-competing companies that meet twice a year to work on how they manage production. So I get to facilitate, I get to talk with all these men and women that are running these production departments for companies. And one of the other things that we have is an email chain that keeps us all in touch with each other in between meetings. So, hey, if it sounds like fun to you and you're interested in something like this, give me a holler to my email and I can talk to you more about that. Anyway, one of our big topics has always been getting jobs done with little or no punch list. And then, of course, trying to totally eliminate the warranty work of any substance that comes along. So recently, during one of these email chains, our guest mentioned a checklist that they use for completion. So guess what did I do? I jumped on it and we have him on as a guest today. Steve?
Tim, let's get started here. So Ed Hoxbergen is the production manager for Encore Homes, a company founded in 1979, located in Middleton, Wisconsin. He joined the team as an assistant superintendent in March of 2002 in their multifamily division. He continued to be promoted within the company to superintendent in 2004 in their single family division and production manager in 2012 when they grew enough to add this as a position. Since incorporating the QA form and checklist, Encore has seen their 30-day and one-year punch list greatly reduced and in some cases had nothing at our one-year walkthrough. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be on with you guys today.
Hey, so great introduction, Steve. Thank you. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about this list. I went on and on about the checklist, but tell us what your list actually is. What is it? And I guess maybe, too, why did you guys start something like this?
We started this checklist because we were getting to our final walkthrough at turnover of our new single-family homes and found many issues that weren't completed or completed to our satisfaction. So we developed a 100-point system that myself and our lead realtor for that house will walk through approximately 6 days prior to closing and go through it in detail. And that gave him the opportunity to get everything completed by the time closing day came.
So yep. is this actually like a Word document that has like 100 questions on it that says, what about this? What about that? What about, so what form does it actually take?
It's in a Excel spreadsheet, and then we break it down by categories like cabinets and countertops, electrical, plumbing, paint, trim quality, drywall quality, et cetera.
So there's various sections of this. So it's not like, like I said, like a long list of 100 things, but it's like cabinets and countertops might be one section with 8 or 10 items underneath that and then other finishes. Is that right?
That's correct. That's how it was developed. And each point system, it's a percentage or like 0.57%, 0.57%. And it's an all or nothing. So if you find one small issue, you lost that whole category. It's not prorated at all.
Oh, okay. So in other words, if 30 out of the 31 cabinet doors are straight and lined up and one of those doors is hanging a little lower than another one, you lose that category?
That's correct.
Wow. That's pretty tight, man. That's a little bit uncomfortable for a lot of us that want to give out a lot of grace. Why are you so strict on that? Why is it so important to you to hold somebody's feet to the fire that tightly, I guess?
Once we get to a final turnover, we're expected from our head of the company to be nearly perfect. And I wanted to prorate it, but he says, no, I want it all or nothing. So
you wanted to be a nice guy too, but your boss told you, no, you got to be a little more strict on this.
That's correct.
So
that's why it's not such a high percentage, not like a full point in every item. It's a small percentage of a point.
Okay, so you've broken it out, so it's not like 10 points for one item, but it's like 0.57, I think I saw on there for most of them, and some of them are a little bit higher, that kind of thing.
Some a little higher, some a bit a little lower. Most of the categories, total points will be like 5.1 to 3.0, so.
Okay. So give us a little more background on how you actually close out a house. What's the process? And maybe just tell us a little bit about who's running that project and what they do to try to get ready for this closeout. And then who's involved in the walkthrough. And I think you mentioned 6 days or something like that. Give us a little more about that.
So when we get to the 6 days prior, we're going through this checklist. That gives them opportunity to take care of the final things that will show up. That gives them time to get a sub in to fix it or our own carpenter. And then at day of closing, we walk through with myself, the builder, the homeowners, and the realtor, and we do a buyer's education walkthrough. And we go through the whole house once again with them. The realtor will take a certain section, and when she's done, she'll go back to the office and get ready for closing, and then we'll go through like the mechanical makeup of the house and anything else that they may want to address.
So this is really a great, this is like a extra little bit of nugget here. What do you call it? What kind of education?
Buyer's education.
Buyer's education. Okay. Now I'm assuming that's like going through the mechanicals and saying, you know, here's the furnace. The filter needs to be changed and, you know, da 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 da. Is that what you're talking about?
That's what we talk about. We go through gas shutoffs where all their sewer cleanouts are, their water shutoffs. We go through floor care, cabinet care, countertop care. How to maintain their lawn outside in the concrete, no salt in the summer, in the wintertime and such.
So I'm kind of guessing you guys have like an agenda for this, like a checklist for this as well.
We do have a checklist that we built that's got about 15 to 25 items on it. And the owners will initial and sign at the end to say that we have covered these items they can't come back to us later saying, you didn't tell us that.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right, let's go back to the close-up list here. So give us a little bit more detail about what this has accomplished for you. I guess maybe start with what were you seeing before you put this into place? And then what has it done? I mean, tell us a story about how this has helped you.
We've seen a lot of paint touch-ups that were showing up, or drywall repairs that got messed, and a few incidents wrong. Faucets were installed on vanity tops and stuff like that. So we came through, we just broke this down by item and to cover ourselves on everything. What has it done?
Yeah.
It has nearly eliminated anything at the end of the day. So when we get to that final close out, there's no paint on the, no tape on the walls. And yeah, we walk out of that walkthrough with a happy client, and we don't have to get any subs there on a moment's notice to wrap up the job.
Yeah. Yeah. When, that's, go ahead, Ed.
When it comes to our 30-day and 1-year walkthroughs, we've seen our list greatly reduced to 5 or less at a 30-day walkthrough typically.
Okay.
And we've had some 1-year walkthroughs that had nothing on the punch list, so it's making our warranty numbers look a lot better.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So, why do you have like a point system instead of just a checkoff, done, done, done? Why did you go to this, you know, 0.57 and 0.32 and whatever else, instead of just having a list where you check off, yeah, that's done?
We wanted to give it a value and rate the builder on the job. So if he got 96% or better, we'd give him a bonus at the end of the job. And our thought process was that if we did this up front, it would pay us dividends later in the warranty department by the company. And that has proven to be true.
So give it, so just really quickly, who is this builder that you're talking about? Is that an employee of yours, or is that the superintendent, or who is that?
That would be our product manager or site superintendent who's
okay,
got full control of the job from
okay,
foundation through closing.
Okay, cool. So let me ask you this. Did your superintendents, your site people just like jump on board and say, wow, what a wonderful idea? Or did this take on a little bit of time to try to get this going for you there at Encore?
It took a little bit of time for them to be fully on board. Once we got it developed between myself, sales, and the president of the company, we sat down with him, site superintendents, and proposed it to them to say this is where we're going, and give them the full buy-in of the checklist and the bonus program.
So did they actually help you create this list?
No, I did it with the president of the company ourselves.
Oh, okay. So how would you suggest if some company wanted to start, you know, doing something really thorough? First of all, let me ask this. I don't know if you're prepared to answer this question or not, but when I looked through the list, you were nice enough to send it to me to look at. I saw some pretty particular things in there. I mean, it wasn't just like, how's the paint? So can you give us, for the listeners out there, since they don't have it sitting in front of them, can you give us a little idea of how particular, what might be a couple of things on there that are getting right down to brass tacks, and to give us some idea about how specific you have been on this list?
Sure. So we have no loose cabinets, no scratches or chips in the cabinets. Electrical panels is clean and the breakers are labored properly. All paint touch-ups are 100% complete. Windows are damage-free and lock and tilt properly for cleaning purposes. Just to name a few.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. So you want to be as specific. I mean, you've got 100 of them on there for a new house, and I mean, that's a lot of detail to be looking at. So how would you suggest somebody that wanted to get started making a list like that? How do you think would be a good process for them to get moving on a nice completion list?
I think they should look at what some of their common issues are when they get to the end of the job, and start there and build off of that. Maybe take it a little above the line and really drive down the details and the fine points of the project.
Okay, so what about, now I hear this from all kinds of people. In fact, I just got an email earlier this week from somebody that was like wanting to know what my opinion about, you know, a completed job was. And they went to the specific point of saying, oh, and of course, there's going to be some things that are outside of our control. And so I'm kind of curious, like, how do you deal with that kind of stuff? Like a light fixture comes in broken I don't know what other things, but I just hear people saying, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we just can't control. How do you deal with that kind of thing within this structure?
I take it case by case. If they're on top of it and they can prove to me that, hey, I had ordered this as soon as I saw it, or I'm waiting for it from the supplier, we'll give a little bit of leniency on there. The really only area that we really see a real issue with that would be stress cracks and windows that you have no control over.
All right. Okay.
Throughout the project.
Okay. Yeah. That, I hadn't even thought about that one. That's one of those things that does happen occasionally, is a window pane will crack while even, you know, during construction. So there is a little bit of grace in here if they can prove their point that it really was something that they saw and that they are aware of and that they're dealing with.
That's correct. And through my site visits and stuff, I'll see it too and ask them at that point throughout the job.
Cool.
So Ed, on the list, you wrote, you mentioned trim quality and drywall quality. And then, so I wanted to just kind of explain that. And it seems like that means perfection. And how do you quantify or define that? Would be my question. And then the second part would be, is the client involved in this checklist at all? Is their sign off? I mean, I always felt that it, you know, for us to be able to dictate the quality and then just hand it over is the way to go. So, and it seems like that's what you're doing to keep the kind of the client out of dictating the finished product or the quality of the project. So how do you kind of quantify or define that is my question.
From trim quality, we are looking at the miters are tight, the holes from the nails are putty, the putty match is great. No nicks or dings in the trim, no scratches in the trim. The homeowner is not involved in this at all. This is all us, and we just state to them, hey, we went through this house a few days ago and looked at every wall, all paint touch-ups, drywall repairs, and that consider this job 100% complete.
That's great.
As we're starting to wrap this up, Ed, a lot of our listeners are remodelers. And again, it's funny. If you ever listen to a podcast, you hear me say things like, I can just hear everybody saying this. Somehow I hear what the general world around me is saying. But I can hear a lot of remodelers saying, oh, that's easy on a new home because everything is new and you don't have to deal with those old walls connecting with new walls and floor levels and things like that. So do you think this applies to a remodeling kind of setting, and what might be a little bit different about it if it was in a remodeling setting?
Yeah, I think that this is very much could go for a remodeling business. I think you would have to take into some consideration the walls and the floors depending on the age of the house. But we're still all professionals out there and working with professional contractors. So they should be held to their accountability to give a good product at the end of the day.
So be thinking of a little like golden nugget for us here at the end of this. But I pulled your spreadsheet up in front of me and I'm looking at like one of the things under plumbing is aerators are clean. Like who takes the aerators off of a faucet and make sure they're clean? That's the detail that we're talking about, because what's going to happen if they're not clean? The client's going to call you a week afterwards and you're going to come in there and go like, oh yeah, we just take this off. And they're going to be start thinking like, what else isn't done properly. And so I think that's one of the things that I like about this list that you have. It is so detailed and so specific that if you miss it, it'll be like an extreme case. So I just, like I said in the introduction, I am just, I don't know, in awe of what you guys have done. I guess, so what do you think might be just like a last thing to encourage everybody in this, with this concept?
Go into it slow. Make sure you look at this a list that you come up with and make sure it's got everything in it, what you want. Use it for a bit and you can redefine it. We continue to find a few things that we want to change up on it and stuff. So we've only been using this for just over a year. But I think we got it pretty well dialed in right now.
Yeah, it's so fantastic. Yeah. Oh, Ed, I want to thank you for taking a little bit of time out, sharing this with us.
Yeah.
And this is such a great, great idea and concept. And you guys have put it into place and it's made a difference for you.
Thank you. I appreciate the time, too.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ed. Take care. Tim, this is a fantastic episode for so many reasons. I think this is going to help a lot of people. And one thing I didn't get to ask Ed, but I, you know, would just assume is the fact that you always look at the ROI on any output. It's that output of time, output of money. It's a lot of time to put this list together and then, you know, to then complete the list. But you're doing it anyway. You're just kind of going through the steps and adding a definition of quality for your product. And I just think it's incredible what they're able to save and what companies can, the time and money that they will save by doing this. And I think you brought up the best point of taking out the aerators. I mean, so if they do find that it is clogged, then it starts to get into the client's head of, you know, some sort of doubt. And then it makes them start to look at other things. And it's a chain. It's vicious. So, no, that was incredible detail that they have on this. And I want to see the list. So if he can send that to me.
Well, it's an amazing list. And when you stop and think about it, there's a lot of companies that have like a 100-point checklist that they say, we make sure the car goes through 100-point. And you just feel good about that.
Yeah.
And so, again, in the sales process, telling the client, we're going to inspect your home in a detailed kind of way. I loved this thing about the buyer's education.
Me too.
I just went like, dang, here's a golden nugget that we didn't expect. So they do this walkthrough. And then when they do the final thing, their realtor does some magic for them there. They leave and then they have what they call buyer's education. And I just thought that was something that I didn't expect to get today. Yeah. And I got it.
Yeah, that was. And just to add on to that, I mean, I would these people, you know, that my wonderful clients that I would work for, they'd do this beautiful kitchen and bathroom. And then I would have a stack of owner's manuals that hand over. But, you know, if you had some sort of education on the appliances, on how to care for the countertop, anything like that. I mean, it's just something that it's new to me.
And so my favorite story is getting a call the Monday after Thanksgiving. We just finished this gorgeous house. I mean, it was beautiful. It had 5 bathrooms, beautiful master bath. And we got a call from the homeowner on Monday after Thanksgiving that they had all their family in. And they had to all use the master shower because they couldn't figure out how to get the water to go from the tub spout to the shower head, right? And it's such a simple thing that if we'd have done something like this, then they would have all had their own privacy and the weekend would have been that much better. So I think it's an incredible thing to think about educating your clients about how to use their property once you've helped them improve it.
So what a thing to add at the sales, you know, at the first, you know, when you're working with the client during design is saying we have an education at the end of this, you know, buyer's education. So, well, that's perfect. So once again, we would like to thank Ed Hochsbergen for joining us today. And we would like to thank you for listening to another episode of The Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, at The Tim Fowler Show, we're working hard to eliminate it is what it is. Just like Ed has done with their completion list, get rid of the it is what it is We want that out of your vocabulary.
This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast-track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.